no matter genocide. Sick from water, sick from air, making money they don't care. Censorship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they bomb. They shoot, they kill, they massacre rain, they burn the kids, no one makes gun. Trees, lie to your face, fight and die, cause God will give. Buying time, killing people next in line. Lower classes, social slide. They don't matter, genocide. Sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. See their shit, force a bear. Fuck them back, it's only fair. They bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn the kids. No more things, cut trees, lie to your face, fight and die, cause God forgives. Yeah. Back around again.
Are we hooked in or what? Finally? Okay, welcome to the show. Late. A few technical problems here on this end. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV. I'm the host for next hour or next 50 minutes. And it is the 15th of May. And I got to say, everything's getting so pleasantly green, I'm going to have to cut the lawn soon. So that's a good thing. Anyways, been kind of a busy, weird day today, and I finally got confirmation from the province of Ontario that I'm the Libertarian candidate for here in Bruce, so that's a good thing. I got a email this morning from a CEO of a hospital wanting to talk to the candidates about how we're going to fix the health system. Well, it ain't hard to fix. Put the money in it. You know, the province of Ontario just gave Toyota $120 million towards their expansion. Well, it's $120 million that should be going to the healthcare system or the, well, I don't want to put any money in the education system because it's not an education system. It's a cultural Marxist system, and it should get no money. The teachers should all be fired or turn a new leaf and teach the folks in the schools that this is our country. It doesn't belong to the UN and doesn't belong to the politicians. It's ours. And so the school system deserves no money whatsoever. The teachers deserve no pensions because all they're doing is propagating a bunch of garbage and destroying the minds of the children that are unfortunate enough to end up in the public school system. But as far as health care goes, I'm a firm believer that if you do not have the capacity to look after your ill, you're elderly, then you have no right to call yourself a country. Simple as that. Because if you can't look after your own people's health, then you do not deserve to be called a country. So I'm going to have some interesting words with the CEO of the hospital who sent me an email. And as far as I'm concerned also, all public entities, that includes healthcare, should not be running on borrowed money at interest, compound interest, no less. That's no good. So way back when, and this is corporate in this case, but way back when this so-called country was being expanded with the railroads and the waterways and that, and that was all done with interest-free money. The only money that was interest was private money. So if you want to take a death pledge, a mortgage, you paid interest on it. But as far as infrastructure in the country and that goes, it was all interest-free. The problem with it is that what was funded interest-free, the railroads in that, were all actually private, belonging to the Crown. So the Crown built what they wanted by printing money, interest-free money. Joe Slave, that would be everybody else in the country, paid interest. And we see where interest got us, especially compound interest got us. I think the global debt is something around $60 trillion or more, somewhere in there, maybe more now. And then you got to ask yourself, well, who do we owe all this money to? Who the hell do we owe $60 or $70 trillion to? How the hell do we owe anybody $60 or $70 trillion? Well, just look at the banking system. And they own your ass. Of course, it's completely illegitimate. It's totally fraudulent. It's basically completely against the law, but set up in the legal system through their Skypey lawyers and that. We don't generate our own money. We borrow money from these people who just happen to own some printing presses, and then they lend us this paper backed by nothing, with no reserves, no backing of any sort, and then charge us compound interest on it. Now, if you think you live in a country and you're voting for politicians, they're telling you they're going to spend this much on that and this much on that just to appease you. Borrowed money at compound interest, you need to give your head a shake. Because all we're doing is loading up the so-called debt. And the idea of the debt is to crush the nations. And then once the nations have been crushed under the debt, then that's the end of the nation state. And it goes under the globalist rule, which it already is, but they take it in their legal system, and then they run your so-called nation. And if that happens, well, you think you're a debt slave now, wait till they have complete and total control over you, which they're extremely close to now, considering that the Prime Minister stated right after, 5 or 6 days after he's elected, that Canada is the first post-national state. Now, if you're a post-national state, that means after being a national state, that means you're not a national state anymore. That means someone else is governing your so-called country. And that's the truth. And they are. And we have to put a stop to it. This idea that if you say you're a nationalist, everybody jumps down your throat and calls you a Nazi or an anti-Semite or a white supremacist or any of this kind of stuff. Don't bow down to that stuff. Do not bow down to that stuff. Because you only got two choices. You're either a nationalist or an internationalist. And the internationalists are Marxists or Judaism. And so either you stand for your nation or you fold up and give it away to somebody else who doesn't even like you. I mean, the people that are taking you down don't like you. And you're too damn weak to stand up and kick them the hell out of your country. That's really pathetic. It's so pathetic. Well, it pretty much makes me want to puke. So, I want to say this while it's on my mind. Europa, the last battle. I highly recommend that series. I've only been through, I think I'm into the third one now, but the second one, if you don't like war stuff, the first one's pretty much war stuff in it. Who banked it and everything else. But the second one, about a third of the way through the second one, it really gets into the Marxism, communism, Judaism, or whatever you want to call it. And it's very well explained. And I recommend everybody take a watch at that. And remember, you've been lied to since the day you were born. And that's a fact. So some of this stuff that you may see, i.e. Europa, the last battle, may take you a little bit. May make it difficult for you to actually believe. But remember, Psych 101 is basically, you know, white is black and black is white. And once you believe the lie, it's very difficult for you to let go of the lie mentally. Most people hug the lie and cast out the truth. Now, you're going to have to be stronger than that. You're going to have to understand, first of all, you've been lied to since the day you were born. That series Europa, the last battle, as far as I've been through it so far, is very accurate. And it's the truth. And a lot of you won't be able to deal with the truth. That's what they're counting on, that they're counting on that you won't be able to deal with the truth. Well, the fact of the matter is you must deal with the truth or you're going down, okay? This is the last stand. There are no other nations to move to. There are no more new worlds to go to. They're constructing your new world for you, and it is not going to be a pleasant place. All you have to do is look at the history up till today. And you will see the hundreds and hundreds of millions of people that were murdered, sacrificed, in order to get where they are today, which is to end all nation states and take complete and total control of everybody and everything on this planet. Now, when you think of all the people they killed to get this far, consider what they're going to do to you if they get complete and total control. It ain't going to be pleasant. You know, in the one show, in the one, I think it was the second one maybe, or maybe it was the first one, we were talking about the Ukrainian farmers being starved to death. They stole the food. And there's no difference today, okay? You're being poisoned by today's food. They control the food, or as Kissinger said, control the food, control the people. Control the oil, control the nation, okay? So we don't control our own oil, okay? We're on the international oil market, okay? Which means we have no control over our own oil. We got to get control of that back. We have to get control of our food back. We have to get control of our education system. We have to get control of our healthcare system. We have to get control of a law system and take the legal system and tell them to shove where the sun don't shine, because that's what got us in all this trouble. There's a faulty, fake, fraudulent system of law called legal. So Go take a boo at Europa, the last battle. Maybe some of it may be hard to stomach. It's some of it's quite ugly, but true. Try and digest it. I don't know if I would want to watch all 10 of them in one lift. When you're watching Europa, the last battle, I want you to keep in mind America with a K that was released on TV as a TV series, or whatever they used to call those, a multi-section movie or whatever. And the idea is that, you know, people are the Muslim invasion, okay? But that still goes with America with a K, released in 1987. And what America with a K represents is after the after time. It's already been completed. The Sovietization of America. That is the premise of America with a K. But people don't understand. Well, why would they do that? Well, because all your leaders and that, your politicians, have all sold their souls, and they're pushing the agenda. So, but if you look at the Sovietization, and Henry Ford was quite adamant that all of this internationalism was coming from the Jewry. And it was Paul Warburg, who's a Jew, who stated at the 1950 Senate hearings that there will be a world government by conquest or consent. Okay, and we have Henry Kissinger and a whole bunch of these other guys. So Marxism, communism, Sovietization is all Judaism. Okay? They want control of the world, plain and simple. And they will use whatever is necessary to get what they want. And unfortunately, there's too many in too high places controlling too much. Now, anti-Semitism actually means you're not happy with the undue influence of the Jews. That's what anti-Semitism means. So if somebody say, well, you're anti-Semitic, and I go, you're damn straight I am. Does that mean I hate all Jews? Hell no, I got some friends that are Jews. But they have no more clue what's going on than the average white guy. Okay, it's the upper echelon of these people, and so now they're using Muslims to integrate into our nations to bring it down. Now, you can follow, and in Europa, the last battle, there's some very good explanations of, you know, how they take nations down, okay? They take us away from our core moral values. That's specific. And that ex-KGB guy, Yuri Brezhnikov, or whatever his name was, spells out the exact same story. How they take down nations without pulling a trigger. And that's exactly what's been going on in the West since before World War I. And it continues. And they've made people weak. Weak. You know, the idea is start up the wars and kill off the strong. Kill off the intelligent. Now, Marxism, Judaism, communism, whatever you want to call it, it all comes back to the same place. I've got complete and total control of the university system and the public school system. Total and complete control. I mean, Our nations were founded on, I'm going to say on Protestant ethics, because I don't like the word Christian, because Christianity comes out of Rome, which is the Vatican, which is the opposite of what it's supposed to be, and the Protestant movement was as close as you can get to morality. But all of these moral values that we held have all been shattered now. Now, instead of the majority of moral people being in control of their nation, now all the moral people are bowing down to all of the minority groups. Okay? People become they become fearful to say what's on their minds. So now we have these LGBTQ parades running all over the place. We've got this total wide open border thing now where we're being run over by Muslim migrants. which you're on the hook for, their expenses. You know, you can take all of these things, because as Warburg said at the 50 Cent hearings, we need mechanisms. And that's what these things are, mechanisms. Problems, global problems, can only be solved at the global level. That's a global government. And one of them is environmental issues, climate change, LGBTQ, human rights, migrants, mental health. That's the new one. Mental health. It's everywhere now. They promoted the snot out of global warming, and then it kind of died off once they figure they've got it in everybody's head. Then they kick up Black Lives Matter, LGBTQ, all of these things. These are all very minute things, and they're all constructed frauds to bust the moral fiber of the nation. And they're doing a very good job of it. But it's all set up, all constructed, and it's all set up as global problems that can only be solved at the global level. And we have to stand up to this nonsense. Because, you know, when you go through enough documents and enough... This is what I like about that. Duck sent that to me, the Europa, the Last Battle, and I thank him for it, because it's a very well done piece. It's more than 5 minutes, too, which seems to be the average attention span of people. 5 minutes in, they can't deal with anything anymore. But if you can still think, then you should sit down and go through this stuff, because all the quotes are there, you know, all the documents are there. There's no mistaking what the program is. It's not conspiracy theory. It is conspiracy, though. It is that small group that is conspiring to take control of every aspect of your life. And we got to stomp that out. And it's pushback time. And I do believe that we have the capacity to do so. In fact, we have to have the capacity to do so, because if we do not push it back, then we have failed. We have given them a free ride and handed our offspring off to these clowns to do with what they want. And it ain't going to be pretty. So, you know, they've really weakened people. And they've destroyed most people's moral character. And it is your moral character that knows right from wrong. And my attitude is, I would like to just see everybody mentally crawl up on their moral high horses and let's get at it. And we don't have to have violence. If enough of us get up on our moral high horses, we can back them out of here. And then we get our nation. That's the only hope we really got. Now, I'm running as a libertarian. I just got confirmation today that they finally got the paperwork all done. And so I'm going to be a libertarian candidate. And it's going to be interesting. Because I ran in 2007, and trust me, the candidates, well... Pretty slow, pretty dense, something like a box of rocks. They're not bright people. And so I'm going to have a little bit of fun with them, like I did in 2007. And just generally see if people are starting to do what needs to be done, and that's ask questions. Because until people begin asking questions, nothing's going to change. And the interesting part of that is that the lady who looked after me in 2007 when I ran as an independent, on the very last day, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, on the last day you get the paperwork, I called the regional office And she helped me out a lot. But what really surprised me about this lady is that when I told her I didn't really want to do this run, she said I had to. And I said, why do I have to? And she said, somebody has to. I said, is it that bad? She said, you have no idea how bad it is. Well, I did actually, but that was really weird coming from a lady in an election office, for her to, say her own, what she felt. So luckily this time when I called the same regional office, if I didn't hook up with the same lady, which was really weird because she started working at the regional election office in 2007, which was the year I ran. And, she held the door open an hour extra so I could get there. It was about an hour away from me. I called her and I said, I'm not going to make 11 o'clock. And she said, okay, I'll hold the door open until you noon. Get here. And I got there and she looked after everything and it ran and it was interesting. And so this time I've been busy with some other stuff and kind of let this thing slide a little bit. I thought the party had dealt with all of this stuff already, but they got it in late, mainly because I sent it a little bit right deadline time. And they were overwhelmed with other things. So, we got the stuff sent in, and I sent her an email this morning, left a message, they had to go somewhere else, and got back here around 2 or so, and got an email saying that she got the package, it looked good, and just got to get certified. So I called her up, and she says, well, let me go check. I'll send you an email. She sent me an email and sent my certification paper. So I am now a candidate for the Libertarian Party for here in Bruce. And I'm looking forward to it. I've got an invite to speak to a school, which I'm going to relish because I get to take the teachers to task. And the students, and lay a little truth on them, and then I got that email this morning from the CEO of a hospital around here, who wants to discuss how the hell what we're going to do with our health system, because he said the equipment in the hospital is all old and wore out. And, they're starting to sound the bell for a pullback on debt just at the wrong time. And Goderich is only a town of about 8,000 people. It's a regional kind of town. And the smaller places come to that hospital. But, we're getting overwhelmed. We have 15,000 walk-ins on emergency year, and the baby boomers are getting older, and we're being overwhelmed. What the hell are we going to do? So it'll be interesting to have a conversation with him to see what he's thinking, and I'm afraid it's probably not correct, but I get to have a chat with him anyways, and this is what I like. This is why people should run, and I just found out today a friend of mine who talked me into running for the Libertarian Party. I'd never heard of him before. Then he found another party. I forget what it's called now. But I just found out today he's running for that party. And we had lots of conversations. Like, he wasn't going to run, but I trying to explain to people, you need to run. Okay, you can't just give these clowns a free ride. If you have some knowledge, then you got to get it out there. And there's no better time to do it than during an election. You get radio interviews that you're not going to get otherwise. You get to speak to people you're not going to get to speak to otherwise. You get to, bring some truth to the table. which never is going to get to the table if you don't run, because sure as hell the politicians ain't going to bring no truth to the table. This is all about strengthening our people. Our people are extraordinarily weak in the West right now. And if you don't stand up, how do you expect them to stand up? Somebody's got to step forward. And then we go from there. Now, I had an interesting conversation with Gene from the Libertarian Party last night. We were trying to get all this stuff together so I get qualified or certified or whatever. And, you know, he's been at this for some period of time. He's a data hound. He's an IT guy. He's been all over the world doing manufacturing stuff. He's retired now, sharp as a tack. And, you know, I got talking to him about the need to get a hold of the local councils. And so he's busy with this provincial stuff. And once we talked about it, and he's a mathematical guy, and once I told him that, and he realizes it, this global agenda is being implemented at the local level, global to local, giving all the power to the global, and the people that are involved in this aren't telling the local people what the hell they're up to. So I just explained to him some numbers that, you know, you got 7 councillors. And that means you run 3 for each council seat. So you're running 21 candidates, talking the truth. They're maybe running 12 bullshit artists. So you have basically twice the people out on the street with a completely different message than the other 12 or so. Because not a lot of people run for municipal politics. But if you have 21 people with one message which resonates with the people, and then 12 Marxists running around talking about how we got to bring in the Muslims and how we got to, you know, have another LGBTQ parade, how we got to paint the freaking crosswalks in a rainbow color, like, shut up with all that stuff, and how global warming is real, which it's not, and so on and so forth. If you have 21 people out there running with the real message, then people are now understanding that global warming is a complete fraud. They're pissed off at this LGBTQ stuff. And don't call me a racist or anything else. I don't give a damn if you love an elephant. I could care less. Keep it to yourself. Okay? Am I going to persecute you for it? No. But you ain't parading around on my streets like a bunch of deviants. Okay? That's going to end. And I ain't bowing down to it, and our people got to stand up and not bow down to it either. So we got to get a hold of the local councils, because that's where you live. That's where the power is. There is no other power except where you live. You get that power base, then we can make some serious changes. And it's not hard to run for a municipal election. It costs you like $100. $100. And you're running for a municipal election. If you can't pull that off, then you have no right to be whining and complaining and bitching and carrying on about the state of the nation or the state of the politics or anything else. Because if you ain't prepared to step up to the plate, then you ain't got no voice and you have no right to be speaking about anything. Because it just becomes bitching and complaining. And bitching and complaining does not solve any problem anytime, anywhere, period. So Gene, this guy was talking to, he's 67, and he's a goer. And when I explained the numbers to him, you run 21 and there's 7 seats, you can pretty much guarantee you're going to get 4 of them. And that's the majority vote. That means you got the vote. That means the Marxists ain't got the vote. Now, the problem is that the local councils are a creation of the province and or the state, and that they have the power. If you don't do what you're told, they have the power to come in and pull your council out and put their people in. Okay, I've seen it done. Now, like I told to Gene, yeah, that's why we need to get at least 30 municipalities where we have the majority vote. When one council stands up and says no, they don't think twice about pulling you out of there and putting their own people in. But when 30 councils stand up and say, you know what, we ain't going there. Okay? And at that point, the province or the state is going to try to renegotiate with you. Well, you're already up on your moral high horse, and you ain't getting off it. And like I always say, somebody's going to blink. And if you know it's not us that are going to blink, then it leaves them blinking. And when they come back to renegotiate, and I've seen this over and over and over and over again, where, you know, the farmers or something draw a line in the sand and say, that's it, we, you know, ain't crossing this thing. And then the government comes back and renegotiates with them, and before you know it, the farmers are crossing the line and getting slaughtered financially. Because once they blink, you've won. You don't negotiate with them any longer. You've won. You're going to blink or they're going to blink. And I don't think there's a better, there could be, but I don't think there's a better incident of that than the standoff at the Bundy Ranch. These were normal people who came to stand with the Bundys. And unlike the Branch Davidian disaster, where the people didn't stand ground with those people, who didn't do any harm to anybody at any time, and allowed them to be slaughtered, I think there was a lesson learned from that. And the good moral men and women went to the Bundy Ranch, and they stood down the feds. Now, because this wasn't played out as some white supremacist or militia stuff, the feds couldn't really move, which means somebody's going to blink. And the good moral men and women who had gotten up on their moral horses, their moral high horses, they stared down the feds because the government by nature is amoral. And they knew if they attacked that group of moral men and women, there's no way they could play that positively in the media. So they were forced to stand down. That's how we win our nation back. With moral men and women of strong minds, spines, and spirits. And if we can't bring ourselves to that place, well, it's over. Everything that your forefathers worked and built for us was worth nothing. And if we don't somehow become strong, then everything that they sacrificed for us to have a better future was a waste of their time. And that's really pathetic. Geez, I'm getting preachy, eh? But it's got to get said. It's got to get said. And, you know, this is the whole point of running the election. If I can get to 5 people through the whole election, to go home and say, you know what? This is our nation. And it doesn't belong to the politicians. And it doesn't belong to the globalists. And it certainly doesn't belong to the Marxist communist started by those of Judeo or Judaism. It's our land. We built everything that's on this land. That we need to stand up and take it. And we don't need violence to do so. We just need enough people with a strong enough mind and spine and spirit to stand up and say enough is enough. We ain't taking it no more. You're out of here. We're taking it over. Now, when I was talking to Gene last night about the regionalism, you know, he said, what you're really describing is a republic of the United States, where it is by and for the people. Well, fine. What else could it be? By and for the politicians, by and for the corporations, by and for the Marxists? It has to be by and for the people. And if the people are not in control of their nation, then guess what? Somebody else is in control of your nation. It's like somebody moving into your house uninvited and telling you this is how you're going to live now. Would you put up with it? Not bloody likely. But your municipality or your township, whatever they call it on the stateside, your state, and the entire country, that's your house. That's your house. And if you don't run your own house, then somebody else is going to run it. And our forefathers understood that. There were certain groups of people, they didn't want nowhere around their villages, and they used to run them out, rightfully so. Because they were the weasels, the foxes, and the snakes trying to get control of the house. But over generations and through deception and offer of benefits and that, people got weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. And we lost complete control of our house. And we need to go get it back. And we're going to get it back. Simply because there's no options at this point. We don't negotiate with these clowns. We give them the boot. We put the moral fabric back in our nations. We get our neighborhoods back. I mean, people don't even talk to their neighbors anymore. This is how pathetic this has gotten. You know, when I was a kid, everybody left their doors open, and if mom was out and kid went home, then he'd go over to Johnny's house, walk through the door, and, you know, get invited for dinner or whatever. You know, I mean, the neighbors looked out for the neighbors. In other words, the people looked out for the people. Now they've changed it around so that everybody's run into the government looking for handouts. Well, they'll gladly give you the handout because they're trying to bankrupt your nation. And they're trying to make you weaker. And every time you take some handout from a government body, you've just become weaker. You've become dependent. Not independent, but dependent. And that, too, is part of the breaking of the family, the moral fabric, the spirit of the man or the woman, to make them weak so they can basically do what they want with you. And we need to get our neighborhoods back. I hate the word community. I don't like that word at all. Neighborhood I like, because the neighbors look out for the neighbors. In other words, the men and the women look out for their friends, their neighbors, their families. Not, well, you should ask the government about that program they have. Shut up with that nonsense. They've turned everybody into a bunch of little children going to government. Especially you see it during elections. You know, it's like a bunch of little kids wanting candy in a store or a little thing they see on the shelf. You know, what are you going to do for me if I vote for you? Oh, we'll give you this or that. Oh, that's what I wanted. Just like little children. They have no clue that the country's going down the toilet. No clue that they're so indebted they ain't ever getting out of it. A little child doesn't worry about that kind of thing. I just want that. Can I have that? Can I have that? Can I have that? Can I have that? Here, take it. Shut up. Little kid doesn't deal with any of these other things. The moral men and women are supposed to deal with it, but they've been turned into little stupid children. Which was kind of funny today because I brought some of this up when I was talking to the lady at the elections office. And she's brilliant, you know. I said, I'm just running this, you know, gauge where people are at. And if they, you know, I know they're getting their backs against the wall. And I've been waiting for a very, very, very long time for this to finally happen so that they forced to start asking questions. And she agrees that people are starting to ask questions. She agrees that most people, regardless of their age, have been reduced to childlike status mentally. Then we need to change this around. You know, there's all kinds of people out there, but they're afraid for their jobs. You know, they don't want to bite the hand that feeds them. Now, I've talked to people very high up in government, in both the provincial and the federal levels, and it's amazing some of the conversations I've had with these people. They understand what's going on. They're not happy about what's going on. But they're too weak. They're too freaking weak to do anything about it. So the only place that any change can possibly come from is from you who have your boots on the ground, where you live. That's where change takes place. And we've got to engage. This is a war. This is the final. This is the Third World War. And if we lose this one, they got it. So we can't lose it. So we're going to have to get strong. And it looks like we're about out of time here. And I think 7:58, I should hear music or whatever soon. You know, best of to everybody. And it must be tough running in a provincial election and trying to run a show through time. That's tough, but I got other stuff on the go as well. So, everybody take care. Selling lies and buying time, killing people that's in line. Lower class and social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Caesar shit, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for they warm. They shoot, they kill, they master cold rain. They burn the kids, no one makes gun. Trees, lie to your face.